Well, good morning again. So welcome to Financial Stewardship Sunday. Firstly, thank you for following along with our Stewardship 365 program. That's kind of meant stewardship every day of the year. A big thank you to all those who have helped and to all of you for reading all those newsletters and all the people who helped with talks. We've been focusing on the meaning of stewardship using scripture as our guide, hence the term biblical stewardship. However, we've learned that stewardship is much wider than just money for the church, and that is what we're going to be talking about today, money for the church. Following the teaching of Jesus, we have interpreted stewardship as working with God to make the world a better place. Jesus called this fair and just society the kingdom of God. And we pray for it every time we recite the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come on earth. Does that sound familiar? Jesus also taught that as we work at it, this renewed earth is being built bit by bit. Now, I've got a little bit of news for everybody. We're not bystanders in this process. Our role is vitally important. When speaking of God's kingdom, Desmond Tutu and others said, without God, we can't do it. Without us, God won't do it. However, God does not leave us alone to change the world. God gives us the gifts we need to do our bit of the job. Each of us is required to do what we can with what we have in the place that God has put us. Again, according to the teaching of Jesus, it's only doing nothing with the gifts that we have been given that is unacceptable. During the spring, we looked at gifts such as time, skills, money, and the Sabbath rest. In September, we began our Stewardship 365 program with a wonderful reminder of the meaning of stewardship from our storyteller, Linda. Linda was using her gift of storytelling to help us understand stewardship in a modern setting. Thank you, Linda. Following that, we introduced our main theme for this year, how we use God's gift of ourselves. We began with our physical selves, our bodies, and how we must look after them if we are to use them in God's service, that is, to help build the kingdom. As St. Teresa of Avila put it, and as I've mentioned many, many times, she said, Christ has no body now on earth but ours. If this is true, and it is, we should look after our bodies. Now, this theme isn't finished yet. It's going to continue after Christmas. Just recently, though, we've begun to look at God's gift of community. We all belong to communities. There are families. There are neighborhoods. Our schools and sports teams, places such as CESA, and so on. When everything is working as God planned, these communities support us in many ways. Even the taxes we are so reluctant to pay to the communities we call our country, our province, and our municipality help each of us to help each other with health care, social services, transportation, and such. Today, though, I'm going to talk on one community, our church. Why is our church community important? What is our role in supporting it so that through it, God can support us and thus enable us to be good stewards? You heard the book I read to the children, so now you know what I'm talking about when I mention filling buckets. Part of the role of our church is to ensure that we fill one another's buckets. I'd like to tell you how I experience a typical Sunday morning. I often arrive here about 8:30, stressed and hungry because obviously I hadn't had breakfast. Then I meet my church friends, all of you. Then the service begins. Then comes the ritual, the words and music that carry my spirit along with them, and the stress fades. Then there's communion, and my spirit is fed by God. Then there's dismissal, and I'm ready to go. My energy is renewed, and my bucket is full. Is this familiar to anybody else? This is part of God's gift of community. It makes me a better person, and it happens here at St. A's every week. Now, as we all know, God works in interesting ways, interesting with a few inverted commas around it. Recently, as part of a DVD series that we're using in Encounters, I came across a list of basic human needs prepared by an anthropologist. The Reverend Michael Dowd, who was the speaker on the series, featured this, and he introduced this list by saying, in a sustainable, healthy community, all of these needs should be met. However, he also said that in our modern industrialized society, most of these needs are not met, much to the detriment of the people. I'd like to show you this list and suggest that here in our community of faith that we fondly call St. A's, most of these basic human needs are met. And now we'll see if I can do this. I'm going to talk about each one of these. There are eight altogether, and a ninth I'm going to add to it. And I'm going to give you a chance to join in if you'd like to. First of all, the need to belong and connect with a safe and engaging community. I'm sure that many people here are as aware that, as I am, that there are places in the world, even today, where if we were to gather here, we would run the risk of having a group of soldiers or police coming in through the back door and arresting us. I was telling the 8 o'clock community that many years ago, when my children were in their teens, at St. Thomas's where I went then, to remind us of this fact that we are safe in our churches here in Canada, our youth group planned a raid. And nobody knew about this except the priest. And you young people, do you remember this? Yes. And these people came bursting in through the back door of the church with guns, not real ones, and a lot of noise, and kidnapped the priest. And of course, we were pretty shocked. But we certainly learned a lesson that day, and it's a lesson I will never forget. My son now, who is over 50, would be about 16 at the time. We are safe worshiping here. We also don't have the risk of being shunned for our beliefs. I would imagine that there are as many beliefs here and as many understandings of God here as there are people here. You don't have to be exactly the same to be accepted. You're accepted as you are. I find people who are warm here and generous, active and fun. Now, I don't know if we have anybody else who would like to talk about freedom in the church, because I have a microphone here and I might just wander a bit. So if anybody does want to stop me and say something, please do so. The next is the need for meaning and purpose in one's life, including meaningful work. Now, the whole focus of this stewardship program, this Stewardship 365 program, is that we need to find meaning in what we're doing. It doesn't just happen one Sunday in the year when we start talking about money. It's all the time. And I think I find working with this program is meaningful. It gives meaning to my life. It's a lot of work, but it's work that I enjoy. I know we have a lot of grandmothers here, and I don't think I have ever met a group of people who work harder than the grandmothers, and yet they keep on doing it. Why do they do it? Could it be because you find meaning in it? You know, here there are lots of opportunities for sharing in the worship. You pick up the worship cards and you come and share. That's obviously because it's meaningful to do that. The office volunteers. Where's June? Yes, yes. June would probably usually be downstairs. June, why do you do what you do? Well, just one second, I'm going to bring the microphone over. Why is it that when I come in on Thursdays, you're always there working hard?
Yes, I'm here several days, actually, sometimes just for a few minutes, but all day Thursdays. I enjoy what I'm doing. I enjoy the people. I get phone calls from people saying, oh, when's this happening? When's that happening? And hopefully I have the right answer.
Thank you, June. And does it make you feel good?
Oh, absolutely.
Does it fill your bucket?
It does.
And I'm standing here with the choir. These people practice. And they have a leader who helps them practice. Why do they do it? You could be at home getting ready for the Grey Cup. We have to finish on time. That's okay. There we are. Do you regard this as a task, or is it a joy?
Making a
joyful noise. That's wonderful. What about our clergy? I very much doubt Jonathan would be there if he didn't find meaning in the work he does. Would I be correct? What about our physiotherapist? Do you find meaning in your work? Do we have any moms here? Moms work hard all the time, and I'm sure they all find meaning in it. There's Joyce at the back who makes meals for... Oh, and Karen, Joyce and Karen make meal, and Gail, actually, isn't it? You make, and Jonathan make meals for the St. Faith. Do you think they have nothing better to do? Do you want to say anything about me finding work meaningful, Jonathan?
Well, at the 8 a.m., we were saying, it's sometimes a mix. There are the things that draw you in, then there are the things you have to do. That, you know, I think of some of the admin things and that I could get by, but even those can be drawn into a bigger purpose and a sense of what we're called to do.
And there's Joe there who has kept our finances straight. Thank you, Joe. Do you find that meaningful? Maybe when the...
Most of the time.
Now the next one, read three, the need to be valued, appreciated, and heard. Well, first of all, the heard bit. It's important to... Oh, I shouldn't be doing that with this thing on. The important thing about being heard is you need to be able to express your opinion and your choice. That happens a lot here. We may not all agree. In fact, often we don't all agree, but we all agree in the end to agree. But everybody has been heard. We all remember the roof. There was plenty of opinion sharing then, and we have a roof now that's one of our signatures. We have an annual meeting where we'll be able to approve the budgets that we have and how we spend our money, and opinions will be heard. There was something else I was going to mention too. It'll come to me in a minute. The chairs, that was it. We are trying to make a decision as to whether we get chairs in here or keep the pews in here. And Jonathan mentions he's had quite a few opinions on that. A decision hasn't been made yet. Now, this is what is meant by being heard. As regards being valued, how many people here realize that once a month, a group of people get together in our parish downstairs, in the room downstairs, and we go through the parish list to see if anybody needs help, If anybody needs a phone call, if anybody needs lunch out, if anybody needs prayer, if anybody needs communion in their home, and we go through it and talk about everybody. So nobody falls through the cracks. And that meeting is this coming week. So that's how we appreciate, value, and hear each other. Now, the need to be optimistic about the future for oneself and one's loved ones. The church is in the business of hope. That is what it's all about. The hope for a better world, the hope for a future for our families. It's a major currency of the church. The world is a dark place right now in many areas, but God is real, and God helps us through the tough times, and we can share those sorts of things here. The church seasons remind us. Advent reminds us that God made God's self known to us in Jesus in a very messy world, a world where the country they lived in was occupied, a place of violence, and it wasn't exactly a hygienic place where he was born. But God makes God's self known through those kinds of things. And at Easter, we learn that death and disaster are never the end. There is always resurrection. Now let's go on to number 5. The need for control or autonomy over one's life and work. You're in charge of your decisions. You can choose to be involved or not. There's a wide variety of religious understandings amongst people here, and we have respect for different views. Autonomy is important. Does anybody have any comments? If you do, just wave and I'll bring you the microphone. The need to be regularly and closely in touch with the natural world. Now, I remember a certain talk about physiotherapy, if you were here, Paul mentioned that we all need to be exercising and that taking a walk out in nature is very beneficial. You did say that, didn't you? Yes, and I've heard that kind of thing other places too. So where is there anywhere? I mean, how could you find a place more beautifully, naturally than here? We've got our grass and trees outside. We have a spray park. It's not perhaps not natural, but it's there. We have playgrounds and playing fields. And down the river, down the road, we have the most beautiful river valley in the country. We have Capilano Park. We have Gold Bar Park. Do you realize where we live and how gorgeous it is? Next, the need for a place called home, a place to call home. My definition of home is if you leave it and mess up, they take you back. Sounds a bit like the prodigal son, doesn't it? But it's also a place where you can be yourself. It's a place where you celebrate, where you grieve, where you recover with people who care about you. Now, could we not apply all those definitions to this parish? I came here to heal. I messed up from time to time. Sometimes people haven't noticed, sometimes they have. But I'm still here. I can be myself here. And we all celebrate here, we grieve here, and we cover with people who care about us. And the last of these 8 is the need for freedom from chronic stress and the need for time and space to recover. Well, for stress relief, you could try our quiet days. They work pretty well. Isn't that so? Who's been to quiet days? Yes, I have too. They're a great cure for stress. The other major cure for stress in our church year is our retreat. That is a wonderful cure. It's better than a month's holiday as a weekend. Just retreating. This is wonderful. The other thing is to ask for help. This is a place where you will get help if you ask for it. It's good to talk about things that are stressful and bothering people. And as regards what I think about stress relief, I've got a quote here from somebody I greatly admire called Albus Dumbledore. And according to Albus, the headmaster of Hogwarts, help will always be given at Hogwarts to those who ask for it. Words are an inexhaustible source of magic. Now, to translate, help will always be given at St. A's to those who ask for it. Words are an inexhaustible source of comfort and healing. Now, comfort and healing are magic, St. A's style. So if you need help, there are lots of people here to help. So those are the 8 on the original list. Now, I added a 9th to that. And the 9th one I added is that we need to belong to a place where we know that there is something apart from ourselves. We need to feel the presence of God. And I think to be aware of that is essential for the health of people. Now then, I will find my next page. Don't dismiss this list. It is the lack of these things that makes life so difficult and so intolerable for many people. It is the lack of these things that leads to things like our suicide rate. And we have them all here in buckets. Now, a quote that has long been important to me as I've sought to understand, to help, to develop healthier societies is the following. It's from a book called The Different Drum by a man called Scott Peck. And he says, the spirit of a healthy community is the Holy Spirit. I believe that what we have here is this healthy Christian community that we call St. A's has been given to us by God in order to strengthen and inspire us as we work to fulfill our mission to live Christ in community through service. Or, as we've been calling it, being good stewards, working to build the kingdom of God. Now, today, we are asked to support this community that satisfies our needs and fills our buckets by making a financial offering. Now, visitors, please excuse us. We need to do this now, and we don't want anybody to feel like they don't belong. So, I'm just going to carry on, but please be aware that we're aware that some people here are not part of our always part of our community. Parishioners, this is financial stewardship of God's gift of our parish. It is one way we look after this gift, and it is very important. We need money for many reasons. Some of them are listed in the newsletter. Now, the newsletter is in your stewardship package. There are more details and an annual budget that will be presented at the annual meeting in February. I'd just like to finish with a quick word of prayer, and then I just have a few comments. My prayer is just an expression of thanksgiving for this parish. And what I would like to say is thank God for St. A's. Now then, I'm hoping that people picked up their stewardship packages on the way in. If you didn't do that, they're on the table outside in the foyer. If you don't have a pen, there are some pens on the little table between the doorways. Now then, I will find my list of what we need to do here. If you fill in your form today, we're going to have a basket on that table in a few minutes. If you would like to, if you can fill in your form today and place it on the basket, in the basket, we will be able to bless it during this service. If you take it home, Could you bring it back as soon as you can so we can get on with the budgeting process? It can either be mailed in or it can be brought and placed on the offertory plate. And Jonathan will bless all of the stewardship, all the stewardship forms that return sometime during Advent. Inside your form is an estimate of giving form. There's a little note that we ask for your current address. There is a newsletter from me which explains some of this stuff. So we're going to have a break now for about 10 minutes. We'll play some music, and if you want to do it now, please do so. If you want to fill your form in now, that would be great. And then when we come back, we'll be coming back to the piece. Thank you.